6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Okay, so we have another action-packed and news-packed episode of TFL Talking Trucks.
That's right. We've got some of the biggest news on this episode of the podcast that we've had in quite a while.
Yeah, there's a new company being born. I'm a new owner of a new truck. I have some Buhanka loaf news and much more.
Yeah, there's a ton going on in the truck industry. One of the big things that we're going to focus on today is Slate. That's where we're going to start out. This is a new manufacturer with a pretty interesting concept for a new truck. But before we get that kicked off, you've got something that you want to mention.
Yeah, I have a shout out. My personal friend and friend of the show, Sean Holman, and his daughter Marin, they were in an accident almost 2 weeks ago. And I just want to wish them a speedy recovery. Their Jeep rolled on the highway. It was a very serious accident. But they gave us a couple of updates. They're recovering.
Yeah.
Both of them had different injuries, but also broken backs were involved, which is something you never want to hear.
No, it's never something that you want to see. And it sounds like you said, that there's been progress in their recoveries. So we wish them the best.
Yeah, so thank you. So Truck Show Podcast is what, you know, Sean Holman has been working on for many, many years. So Sean and Marin, here's a shout out to you. So now, let's switch gears. I normally would call this segment Rapid Fire News,
yeah.
But this is not rapid because we need to go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, our first news segment is going to be a little bit more lengthy because there's a lot to talk about. We actually have information now, a lot of the details and specifications about this new Slate truck that's been rumored a lot. We've seen some spy photos of it and heard a couple tidbits of information that was unconfirmed at the time, but Slate has actually put out a release on some of the real specifications and numbers that they're aiming for with these trucks.
Yeah, and they're actually, they just had an event in California, and our man Nathan was there. So we have a lot of information about the Slate truck, including Nathan's in-person impressions and actually showing you the vehicle. But here, it's so cool, and there's also kind of a cosmic coincidence because I was just listening to our podcast, your podcast, Carish.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing podcast. If you haven't listened to Carish yet, you should definitely check out Carish. And you, Tommy, and Mary were discussing some of the things you want to see in new vehicles and some of the things you don't want to see in vehicles. And Tommy had a couple of, I mean, I don't agree with most of Tommy's ideas.
No, Tommy had some controversial, some strange ideas, but we were all tossing around different things that we thought would make for a better modern car. And a lot of that revolved around simplicity and affordability. And interestingly enough, some of the things that we were talking about are true of this Slate pickup. So if we look at the interior here, you'll see hand crank windows.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. That's kind of old school. This does have power locks, though, which is nice. We have a newer Jeep that has manual locks.
Yeah.
And if somebody else is getting in the car with you, running around to unlock the door or reaching across to do that is a little bit
That's really old school stuff.
So the power locks are nice.
Yeah.
But a very stripped down, simplified interior here.
Exactly. And like Tommy was mentioning, why not add just a device, a phone or a tablet docking station in your vehicle? So you're using basically the technology in your phone. And the Slate pickup truck offers this. Tommy also wanted little buttons for a little warmer, a little cooler. Well, it's not quite buttons, but they're very simple knobs and very simple controls on this new Slate truck.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very old school HVAC controls that are just dials that make it very easy to operate. And like you said, and like Tommy was saying, a dock for your phone instead of a ginormous screen in the center of the dash, which is something that a lot of us have wanted to see. One thing that will be interesting, though, all new cars are required to have a reverse camera. I'll be interested to see how they integrate that maybe into the phone as your
Or maybe into the reverse mirror, you know, the central mirror.
Yeah, I would imagine it has to probably be built into the vehicle's own hardware, because if you leave your phone behind, then you wouldn't have a reverse camera, and that wouldn't work.
That would not be legal, actually.
But what's interesting, too, is if you do want a dedicated screen for the truck, they're saying that as one of the many accessories you'll be able to get for these Slate pickups, you could get a dedicated tablet to act as the screen. And if you look closely where the phone is mounted up, it does appear that you can go in and mount some different systems to that little rail depending on how you want to configure it.
Exactly. And this is the whole beauty of the Slate pickup. And by the way, we wouldn't be spending so much time on this company and this concept and this vehicle if, like, we didn't think this was real. And this company is a startup, and we've seen many startups fail
over
the last couple of years. But this company has a lot of backing from people with a lot of money. So
yeah.
People with a lot of money are throwing a lot of resources at this.
Yeah, most notably, Jeff Bezos has put a lot of money toward this, as well as many other people. And we've also seen that there's quite a few people we're very familiar with in the automotive industry that are linked to this company, so that it seems like there's some real expertise behind this.
Yeah, and the new CEO of Slate Company, Chris Barman, the company is now headquartered in Troy, Michigan, mm-hmm. So this is very Michigan-centric. They're going to make this in the USA. They haven't exactly said yet, we don't know as of this taping, exactly which factory they'll be using, but they're retooling a factory in the U.S., it is all electric, and probably a lot of you now are complaining about the fact that it's electric. But I think it goes along with simplicity, right?
Yeah.
The whole concept of affordability. And they're saying with some federal incentives, I'm not sure which federal incentives they're talking about, that this could be a $20,000 starting price.
Yeah, which would be pretty appealing. Now, we've got quite a few other specs on the truck. Initially, this is going to be a rear-wheel drive single electric motor vehicle. We would love it, because we live in Colorado, if some point down the line for a couple thousand extra, they choose to make a dual motor, four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive kind of setup, because that would be more useful to us here. But initially, it's going to be very simple, and they're targeting around 201 horsepower and 195 pound-feet of torque. There's also going to be two different battery size options when this launches.
Exactly, and the driving range between 150 miles and about 240 miles of range. So this is not going to be your road trip vehicle that you're going to drive, you know, from Los Angeles to New York City. This is not the purpose of this little pickup. I think the main purpose is use it as a commuter, use it as a simple vehicle around town, do some jobs with it. Maybe contractors can have these. You and I were estimating the bed size at closer to 6 feet, but they stated it's 5 feet long bed, but it's got more volume than a Maverick's bed.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, and maybe in this picture you can tell a little bit more. It's a little difficult at times to get a feel for the actual size of this vehicle, but we know the wheelbase. This is a pretty compact machine.
Yeah, so basically think of a Toyota RAV4. So this has a similar wheelbase to that. The wheelbase of this new Slate truck is about a foot shorter than a Maverick.
Yeah.
So this is a compact or a subcompact vehicle, not very huge. And the overall length of it is actually a little bit shorter than the RAV4.
Yeah, so it's a little smaller than it appears in some pictures. We do also know a payload that they're targeting, around 1,400 pounds, which would be pretty decent for a vehicle this size. We don't know yet, I believe, any information on towing.
Actually, they did say it.
Did they?
But I don't want to say it.
No?
It's 1,000 pounds.
Really?
1,000. Oh, wow.
That's much less than I
was. So really, this vehicle is not a traditional pickup in a sense. I mean, even the Ford Maverick can be configured to tow 4,000 pounds,
yeah.
Right? So potentially, I mean, this little slate truck, you probably would not be using it to tow anything. I mean, you could probably tow, I don't know, a little jet ski, you know, from here to there.
But yeah, maybe that's a small U-Haul.
Yeah, but that's probably it. That's probably all you can be towing.
Well, it makes sense because it's not a very powerful vehicle. It doesn't have tons of range. It is targeting, again, mostly being an affordable option. They're saying the top speed on this even is going to be around 90 miles an hour. So
yeah.
It's not going to be particularly fast. It's not going to have tons of range. But the cool things about this truck lie in some other areas. If you look closely at the body panels,
if you can zoom in.
Exposed hardware,
yeah,
which means that all of these panels should be pretty easy to swap out. Also steel wheels. And another interesting thing here is that these are only going to come in one paint finish.
Exactly.
You buy it.
And I think that's kind of where the affordability and simplicity comes from. When I showed this to our producer, Zach, some of these images, Zach immediately said, what happens if somebody walks up and steals your fender? Of course, that could be an issue.
It is possible, yeah.
It's possible. But I also remember when the new Bronco came out, you know, the full-size new Bronco. And I remember we were showing how easy it is to remove a wheel flare because there's some tabs underneath it you kind of click and remove. And we thought those would be stolen every single day. But thankfully, you know, people are reasonable, you know.
Yeah,
hopefully. Most people are actually not walking up to random vehicles and stealing, you know, weird parts.
But it appears that this is a very modular vehicle, and it's one of the things they're targeting with these is they're saying over 100 different accessories you'd be able to get for this, some of which are really pretty interesting and exciting, so that you can equip this vehicle how you want it to be. But the very baseline version of it is going to be extremely simple.
Exactly. Like you can see here, you can remove like the part of the grill, maybe change a blinker, change a headlight. This does have a frunk, about 7 cubic feet of volume in the frunk, which is equivalent to what a Cybertruck frunk area size is. But for example, an F-150 Lightning electric truck has double the volume in the front.
Yeah, so this is a much bigger vehicle.
Yeah, it's much bigger, much heavier, much more expensive vehicle. So, and they're also saying you'll be able to buy like different wraps. So if you want to change colors, you could do that. And actually, Cole has several, right here. So there's a couple of examples where you could change like the way the wheels look, the way the side panels look with different green or red colors. So it could be really quite interesting.
Yeah, which makes it very cool. So there will be some room to personalize it if that's something that you want to do. Should we tell the most interesting accessory?
Yeah, we have to go there now.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
So, a lot of people might be wondering, well, who's going to want to buy
a two-seater,
a single-cab pickup truck? But they are showing us an accessorized SUV version. So think back to Blazers and Broncos from back in the day.
Like where, S10 Blazers.
Yeah, where you had a cap that would go over the back of the vehicle. And it even looks a little bit like some of those classic 4x4s.
Yeah, it has a very a feeling of a like old school Bronco or Jeep Wrangler, some sort of a, maybe even a, an FJ40 from some, you know, some angles, maybe a tiny little Humvee.
Yeah.
Right? It has all those kind of styling cues.
Which makes me want them to make a four-wheel drive version of it even more, because they are showing several of them with a more aggressive tire.
Yeah, all-terrain tires. Removable doors, what? What is happening here?
Yeah, so this makes it even more exciting, and it's not like they're just haphazardly putting seats into the bed of a truck. They're saying that there's going to be many airbags. I think 8 airbags is what they were saying. Roll bars, all kinds of crash safety and those kinds of systems to make this a safe vehicle to actually put people in the back.
And a legal vehicle to sell and, you know, drive down the highway on the road. And so it's not clear to me. Maybe Nathan can help us with this with his videos. So check it out at alltfl.com. I'm not sure exactly how you remove the bulkhead behind the cab and how you integrate that, you know, with the seats and stuff. Or we also don't quite know right now how much it will cost to convert a pickup truck into an SUV.
Yeah, we don't have information on the cost of any of the accessories, the things that you can add to obviously increase the price, but also modify the vehicle such that it fits your use case. But they're still showing some really cool ideas. I love the one with the spare tire, full-size spare on
hanging
the rear.
On the back, yes.
It just has the right look to it. It's got a very utilitarian, almost industrial kind of look, which is appealing to me. I'll be interested, too, to know what exactly the finish, if it's a traditional painted finish on these body panels, because typically that's what you vinyl wrap over, and they're talking about wrapping things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to use a special, specific vinyl, if this is going to have a slightly different finish on the body panels. We'll have to see.
Yeah, wait and see. It was very super exciting. I wish I was there with Nathan, but unfortunately I couldn't make it. So lots of excitement here. They didn't quite state exactly when production will start. There are some rumors a week or two ago that we could see a production version of this at the end of 2026. Which is what, a year and a half away?
Yeah, that's an aggressive timeline.
Yeah, and this is very important because we'll be talking about our other news items here on our list. Basically, every manufacturer that I can think of, including Ford even, Nissan, Ram, Kia, they all are bringing little pickup trucks to the market within the next couple of years. And Slate wants to kind of preempt that, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like actually enter early and maybe steal some sales.
And it potentially would be very successful and would make a lot of sense because we've seen a lot of people go for the Maverick. The Maverick
exactly.
has been a really big seller. So it seems like some other companies might be gunning for that category of small pickups.
And you know, my wife drives a BMW i3, which is a very compact electric car for commuting to work and back. She also, you know, does some projects around the house, in the yard, in the garden. I showed her images of this. She was pretty excited, actually. I was surprised because I was expecting her to kind of discount it and say, oh, you just another truck you're talking about. But she was actually kind of excited about this.
Yeah, so who knows? It could be good. Well, it'll be really interesting to see this company bring this vehicle to market, what kind of timeline it takes. Because bringing a new car manufacturer, vehicle manufacturer out is a huge undertaking.
And it's a risk, right?
Yeah, it is.
But it seems like, I mean, they have the right people, it looks like. And we recognize some names. Some of the engineers on the team we recognize from other companies in the automotive space. They have a lot of backing from, you know, a lot of money being put into this. So hopefully they can make it work.
Yeah, it's got a lot of potential.
All right, let's switch to the next item. This just came out a couple days ago, and this has to do with Nissan Frontier Pro. When I saw this name, I was like, and I saw the look of this pickup truck, I immediately stopped and wanted to learn everything about it.
Yeah, and many of you out there might have seen the news around this because there's been quite a bit of buzz. This is essentially a Nissan rebranded Chinese truck, but it's got a very interesting powertrain and some interesting features. It's a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, and also very interesting styling because we know what Nissan pickup trucks have looked like in the past.
Yeah.
Because Nissan sells the Nissan Navara or the NP300 pickup trucks around the world, including Mexico, you know, and every region basically. But this has a new design direction. Like when you look at this little pickup, I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, and again, interesting powertrain. It's a very small displacement, what, 1.5 liter?
Yes, it's got a 1.5 liter. It's basically a plug-in hybrid where it has electric driving range only,
yep,
about 84 miles on a Chinese test cycle. So first of all, this vehicle is meant only for China.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But the reason why I put this on our list for news is because, first of all, it's called Frontier.
Yeah.
They could have called it Navara. They could have called it any number of names, but they didn't. They called it Frontier Pro. So they're kind of playing around with that name. And also, the CEO of Nissan said that the United States will be getting an electrified version. He didn't say which one, but an electrified version of the Frontier in our market as well.
And that Frontier is almost certainly not going to be this one because of trade and tariffs between us
and also
China.
Design of the chassis itself and all kinds of elements.
This is not going to be the truck that we're going to get, but it does sound like there will be certainly a hybrid electrified version of the Frontier, which is interesting because the Nissan Frontier is one of the more old school midsize trucks on the market. It's still a naturally aspirated 3.8 liter V6. Which I think is one of the things that it actually has going for it, because there's a lot of people out there that aren't excited about the four-cylinder on the new Tacoma, even though the new Tacomas are selling pretty well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like seeing all these downsized engines. The Frontier still has a very traditional, naturally aspirated V6, but it sounds like they are going to at least have a version of the Frontier that's going to move in the direction of being electrified.
But I think Nissan kind of needs this. I'm not saying that Nissan should remove the V6 engine and kind of move away from it.
Yeah.
I think they need to add something to the equation, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had both.
Yeah, nice to have both. Some people may not want any electrification. That's okay. They can choose the V6 Frontier. Some people are excited by this. Maybe they drive in a big city and maybe that city requires them to be, you know, either quiet or all electric for some of their driving. This could be perfect for that.
Well, and there's perks to a powertrain like this. Even this little 1.5 liter Chinese market truck has over 400 horsepower, over 500 pound-feet of torque. So there are perks of these. And like you said, over 80 miles of all-electric driving range, which is also a pretty nice, convenient thing to be able to have.
And the power export feature. So this Chinese market Nissan Frontier Pro, they were talking about, you know, if you want to, you know, help your, you know, maybe power your house in an emergency or power another vehicle or power some tools or your campsite, you could do all those things.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of flexibility with the powertrain, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. What do you think about the styling? Are you kind of a fan? I know we haven't seen it in person, so it's kind of just images.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of squared off lines. It's got a boxy, square jawed look to it in general. I don't think it's a bad looking truck. It's definitely a very modern, funky-looking shape, but there's nothing, I think it's better looking than a Cybertruck, if I have to say so myself.
No, it's definitely, I think, better looking than the Cybertruck, which is a triangle moving down the road.
Yeah.
But this is not a triangle, and I think it's traditional, and it's kind of fresh-looking. I really like that. So now, next thing is Ram. So we recently tested the new Cummins heavy-duty truck, but now we have some extra news thanks to the CEO of Ram truck, which is Tim Kuniskis.
Absolutely, and what they're talking about and what Tim Kuniskis is talking about is 25 announcements over, what, the next 18 months?
That's a lot of announcements.
That's a lot. And again, this is probably also something that they would benefit from. Stellantis could use some excitement infused into their lineup, some vehicles that hopefully appeal to more people after the new Charger.
And especially with all this other news, the Slate being an affordable option. So currently Ram truck, they do not have any midsize or compact offering.
Yeah, and Tim Kuniskis has gone on the record as saying that he wants a midsize truck, something that's affordable, that they need that to be competitive in the truck market, which is fair because it's a big category that they're kind of missing out on. Obviously, there is the Jeep Gladiator, but those aren't selling a ton now because they're aging a little bit, especially compared to a lot of the other midsize trucks that have been updated very recently in the last year or two.
Exactly. So the image we have here is something I used some AI to generate what I thought the next Dakota could look like. And we're talking about a body and frame midsize pickup truck that goes directly against the Frontiers and the Tacomas and the Rangers and the Colorados of the world. So this is just my image. This is not coming from Ram in any way. But let's talk about the announcements. So they said starting on about June 8th or early June and 18 months into the future, past June, 25 announcements. I mean, I'm not expecting 25 new vehicles.
No, that would be next to impossible.
That would be insanity. But I mean, some of those announcements could be additional trim levels or packages, maybe new colors. But I really hope that they announce a couple things, a new Dakota, what it looks like soon. I know the Belvedere plant is kind of slated to build some of the midsize trucks for them. I mean, they could change their plans still. But they're talking about 2027 time frame for some of this. But Slate is talking about 2026 time frame.
I know, which is why it seems like a pretty aggressive timeline because it takes a long time to develop a brand new vehicle. But how long have we been talking about is there going to be a new Dakota? I feel like a little bit of a broken record. Yes. We've said this many times and we've had our fingers crossed many times.
We've AI'd images months ago.
And I don't want to get my hopes up and your hopes up out there just to be disappointed again, but it really seems like there is a potential. Who knows, maybe they won't call it Dakota, although I think it would be a missed opportunity if they don't, because that's a name that people recognize and something that people have been wanting to see return for such a long time. So hopefully that's in the pipeline for the next couple of years.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And they also have an opportunity to do a compact offering, too. They have the Rampage on sale in Brazil and some other markets, which is a kind of a unibody vehicle, very similar to maybe, the Maverick, Santa Cruz, or even Slate. So similar to that. So they could maybe rebrand it somehow, or maybe just leave it the Rampage.
Yeah, but that's got to be separate from the Dakota.
Yeah. I want to separate those two. Definitely separate vehicles, but I'm hoping 25 announcements, maybe another announcement would be a Rampage announcement. But I also want to see an announcement for a regular cab, two-door, two-wheel drive Ram 1500.
Yeah.
So they got rid of the classic lineup, right? They used to have the classic Ram 1500 classic lineup. That's gone. They stopped building them. But they have no offerings for work trucks. I mean, very simple two-door work trucks.
Yeah, which means that anything out there that you could buy in a Ram 1500 is on the slightly pricier side. We used to have a pretty affordable Ram Classic, a 1500 Classic that was single cab, had, not an 8-foot bed, but a slightly longer bed.
Yeah, the 6-foot, 4-inch bed. We called him Stubby.
Yeah.
But he was four-wheel drive, work truck, very simple truck. I mean, yes, they do heavy-duty two-door pickups, but those started like $46,000 or so.
Yeah.
So, yes, Ram, of course, has two-door offerings in the heavy-duty space, but what about $35,000 or $30,000?
And at least in the discussion of the midsize truck that Tim Kuniskis wants them to be able to offer, he talked about wanting to have more affordable trucks. So hopefully that also bleeds into the full-size and the heavy-duty trucks from Ram as well.
Exactly. So cannot wait for June 8th or whenever this date comes. Cannot wait to hear more from Ram. And by the way, we did a lot of testing, like we talked about in the previous episode, of the new heavy-duty pickups trucks. I'm still working on getting a dually. It's actually not going to be as easy as I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's getting a little bit harder for us to get a loan vehicle that we actually can tow with.
Because the dually trucks aren't easy to move cross country. So it's the kind of thing where we could fly out and pick one up and drive it back here to Colorado to do some testing with. But that's also a big commitment.
Yeah, and it requires time and, you know, everything, resources. So we're still working on that.
Yeah.
I still really want to do, and because that's what we've done in the past. I mean, we do really heavy tests to show you what these trucks are capable of.
Yeah, some big Ike gauntlets.
You know, I'm talking about like 30,000-pound trailers.
Yeah.
So we're still working on that, so please be patient.
Get you and Mr. Truck out there on the Ike.
With our cowboy hats.
With the cowboy hats, exactly.
Yes, exactly. So I wanted to mention Kia here as well. I was just in New York for the auto show, and I did not see this.
No, so, I don't think anyone.
So if you're watching this podcast, what we have on the screen is basically a commercial van chassis with a back chopped off that Kia showed, several months back?
Yeah.
As a little pickup truck.
Yeah, so what the news is here, obviously everyone's been talking about the Kia Tasman quite a bit recently. A slightly controversial design, but a very interesting truck. One that we know is not going to be coming here to the States, but it does sound like Kia has confirmed that they are going to bring another truck to the States here, of course.
Which will be electric.
On the Hyundai side of things, there's the Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
But the Kia truck that's going to come here will be electric. We don't have real concrete information about it beyond that.
Exactly. So there's some spy shots of a Kia prototype that kind of looks like the EV9. So they're big SUV with a back chopped off. So there's spy shots of that. There is also this information, basically a commercial-based pickup truck. Which could be two-door, could be a crew cab potentially. I mean, it could have various configurations. They also called it the PV5 pickup truck. But the reason why I brought up New York is because Kia has announced several things at New York Auto Show. They also had that camping concept van, the MP5 Weekender, lifted electric van with... Roman and I did a video of it from SEMA, which was a very popular video with their Kia Weekender, it was called. Fantastic van. So if they use this chassis, what do you think? Should they go more mainstream with like an EV9 look, or should they go a little bit more commercially utilitarian way with this PV5?
It's a tough call. I do like the fact that it seems like they are targeting a slightly more rugged vehicle as much as is possible with an electric platform. The van that you guys checked out is very cool, and it makes sense that this was a popular video because there's been a lot of news and buzz around not only this van, but a few other vans that have been shown at some different auto shows, concepts where you could have a kind of a rugged camping van setup. So definitely the van life world is still very much alive.
I just like the unique ideas. Like they have a slide-out drawer-style door on the driver's side. They have a sliding door on the passenger side. They have a pop-up tent on top, combining a lot of elements from the past and also from the future, some of their design elements. So it seemed very innovative. And also, when I look at Kia, Hyundai, and Genesis, those are the brands of the Hyundai group, they seem to be, they have a fast pace. Like, when they say the new Palisade is coming, gosh, within the year, you could see it. You know, it's an auto show, and then it's going to be on sale in a few months. So they have a very fast pace of development. And if they maintain that pace, we could see this within a couple of years.
Well, and they're also definitely, as a company, they're willing to take risks. We've seen that especially on the Genesis side of things with styling, interior, design, color choices. They're willing to go outside of the box and try something a little bit new. And usually when we see concepts like these, they have a lot of really cool features that don't make it to production because it's either too expensive to do or it's impractical or maybe somebody along the way just decided that it was a little too weird.
Mm-hmm.
But if they take the same mentality with building a truck or building a van that they have with Genesis, where they're willing to take a little bit of a risk, then we could end up with some really cool, unique vehicles.
Look, it also has a phone holder inside the steering wheel. Tommy would be so excited to see this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is that a good idea? I think we're trying to put the phones away from our faces when we're driving, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there are some definitely interesting concepts with this van. If they could do some of these unique creative things, even just as far as the styling, but with the functionality, that would be really cool. They could potentially come up with a pickup that would be very interesting. It's just a question of whether the interest is there in an EV pickup truck. And I think that's going to be the biggest battle for the Slate truck to fight, because there's a lot of very new and unique things about that Slate truck, things that make it very appealing, the price, the modularity. But if people are just too opposed to driving an electric truck, then that's going to immediately take it out of the running for a lot of people.
And also, like, when you don't recognize the name, Slate is a brand new company, right? If this was called a Toyota Slate or a Ford Slate, I mean, you have a legacy company standing behind it. And so what we saw with some of the other startups recently, like Fisker, for example, or Bollinger or Nikola or any others, you kind of have to be a little bit skeptical, right, at first.
For sure.
And then kind of seeing where it takes you.
But there's still always the potential. You look at Rivian, and especially around here, around Colorado, we see tons of Rivians. So I think if you're able to make an interesting and appealing enough truck, it will get to people even if it is electric. And also, especially with the Scout that'll be upcoming, because that has a range extended option, that has made it appeal to a lot more people. I don't know if that's going to fit in line with what Slate is trying to do, because they're trying to make it affordable. And if you have an electric powertrain and a combustion engine, that's just immediately going to ramp up the price. There's no way around that. So a lot of electric pickups that are still being planned out for the future, and or electric or electrified, we'll have to see how much interest there is.
And by the way, going back to Ram just for a second, some of their statements they've made about the upcoming midsize pickup truck or any other vehicles is they're still calling it the multi-energy approach. That basically means either gasoline, maybe diesel even, for heavy duties, right? Hybrid or electric. So Ram is not saying, you know, we're going to be all electric very soon. They're just saying we're going to have choice.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, choice is always a good thing. If you've got options, you can pick the one that you want.
Exactly. And you brought up Scout. Thank you. Because that's another new company, but it's backed by VW.
Yeah.
Right? And they have a collaboration with Rivian on some of the architectures and like the electrical architecture and some of the software that's behind it. I was actually in New York speaking with a head of Volkswagen brand North America. And of course, he was pretty clear. Scout is a separate company. Just within the same, well, it's not even with the same umbrella. It's just that VW is backing Scout as a separate company.
Yeah, so they seem to have a fair amount of independence from BMW. It's also worth repeating that these Scouts are not just reskinned Rivians. They're mechanically very different from the Rivians. They do have a little bit of a similar profile and shape, but
It's bringing a classic name back, too.
Yeah, which is cool. Yeah. And really the coolest thing about these, the range extender is awesome because you can potentially have some of the best of both worlds in your features and your practicality. But the underpinnings of this goes along the same lines as the name that it invokes, because these are body on frame, got solid rear axles. Mm-hmm. You're talking about mechanical lockers, a lot of things that at the moment we don't have in electric pickup trucks.
Exactly. And also speaking about some of the details of the Scout and also the Slate, in their press release said that they have a very unique rear axle suspension design. I think it was called DDion, which I, even after, 14 years in the industry, I haven't really focused on that or heard much about it, which is kind of like this coil sprung system where there's a motor driving the wheels, but there's also kind of a trailing solid axle behind it. We don't have an image of that, unfortunately. But, you know, Slate is kind of introducing that. Scout is introducing a solid axle in the electric truck.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different options that are coming.
Yeah, which is very cool. The Scout is one that especially we're really, really looking forward to, but the Slate truck is going to be interesting as well. I wouldn't be surprised. I would assume whenever we can that we'll put our names down for one of those because that's something that we're going to need to test.
Oh, I think they announced that the reservations are open.
Yeah, and as little as
$50.
Yeah.
Yeah, $50 for a Slate, which is kind of interesting because most companies did $100 or $150 reservation. Basically,
yeah.
Keep your place in line for a new pickup truck or vehicle. And Slate went with $50.
It's an affordable truck.
Yeah, but it could inflate some numbers. Like, let's say
sure.
And I, well, I want to put my $50 in. I don't know about you. But, like, and that's something we could do because it's a cost of, I don't know, a dinner.
Yeah.
But that may not mean that we want to buy it. So those numbers might be inflated. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people could jump in.
Well, because that happens all the time.
Yeah. Like Tesla announced that they had 1 million reservations for the Cybertruck. Well, they haven't sold 1 million trucks.
No, not nearly.
Nowhere close to that. I think they sold, 11,000 vehicles, Cybertrucks, in the first quarter of this year. So those numbers are
It's not quite 1 million.
Those numbers are very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So there will probably be some claim at some point from Slate how many reservations they have. That'll obviously be taken with a grain of salt.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it's a really interesting offering.
All right.
You've actually got some personal news
on
as
the,
well.
Speaking about van life, we talked about a little bit about van life. So summer is just around the corner, and the first Cars and Coffee is coming up, you know, locally here in early May. Was it 2nd of May or something?
Yeah.
I was denied insurance coverage on my van.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I was working with Hagerty because I've worked with Hagerty before because my UAZ van, my Soviet van, is quite unique. And
there's not tons of them here in the States.
No, and Hagerty works with very unique vehicles like this. And so I've been kind of working with them because I canceled my insurance with them on my van a year or two ago because Dave and I were working on it.
Yeah, and you're swapping a V8
swapping
into
a V8 into it and repowering it and doing a lot of work on it. So I didn't want to insure it. So I went back and they requested some images. And they told me that the interior was not good enough.
That's a little rude.
That's very rude.
You need leather seats or something?
But
what do they want?
But I think there's something else going on, and this is probably my mistake. Maybe because I told them I wanted to insure it for like either $20,000 or $25,000 of vehicle value.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a value. Like there's no other V8 swapped.
There's no comparable.
There's no comp.
Yeah.
There's no comparable vehicles that you could look up, you know, in the last month, how many V8 Buhankas were sold, which number is zero. So maybe they looked at that, and then maybe they looked at my unpainted interior, and maybe that was one of their excuses. They're like, we don't want to insure this.
You got to church up your van to get it insured?
I've never heard of it. Have you ever heard of this?
No, that's a little strange, Andre, I got to
say. So I wanted to bring it up just here, but maybe I should like come down on my value.
Yeah.
Maybe I should say, sorry, maybe I, well, 25,000 is very optimistic. I don't know if anybody would ever purchase this van from me for that amount of money. I guess I'll try again.
Yeah. Huh. Well, interesting.
And yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope that you get the van insured because, like you said, Cars and Coffee events are coming up. And if you're ever around Colorado, the Lafayette Cars and Coffee, a lot of us from the team end up at the Lafayette Cars and Coffee.
Well, you live not far away from
that. I live like a mile away from that Cars and Coffee.
Uh-huh.
Roman and Tommy go there a lot. You go there a lot. Our producer Zach goes there a lot.
Yeah.
So there's usually at least one of us at the Lafayette
Exactly. Colorado cars and you coffee. Might be able to see a V8 Buhanka there.
You very well may.
As well. So I was really bummed, and I was also kind of shocked by what I was hearing and doing here with my van. So I just wanted to bring it up because it was just shocking to me.
But on the plus side,
yes,
if you can't bring the van to Cars and Coffee, there is something else that you just bought, and the video hasn't gone up yet, so we won't spoil everything. Right. But there's another vehicle that you could bring to Cars and Coffee.
Exactly. And we won't be able to show you an image in this particular video version of the podcast, but you will see this weekend.
Yeah.
When this episode publishes of our podcast. I bought a fire truck.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call him a fire truck.
Yeah. And it's big. It's four-wheel drive. It's got pumpkins on the axles that are three times the size of your head.
Yes. So it's, I think we could say it. It's,
sure.
It's a Ford F600.
Yep.
It's a 1976 model. So we were looking around auctions because we're working on a video series coming up, which is a different story. But we've been looking at auctions, including Peak Auto Auction.
Yeah.
Which they have actually many different sub-auctions and different... in different areas around the country. And we saw this popped up in the mountains. Basically, a tow truck company had several vehicles that they had that they wanted to sell. And this 76 4x4 F600 popped up. And it had a reserve, so I wasn't sure what the reserve was on it. And then I was showing some of the images to our producer, Cole, and he noticed Mount Bachelor logo on the door. So this truck was probably either originally a fire truck near the ski area in Oregon, or it was also, there's also information that it was a fueling truck.
Yeah.
So it actually brought fuel.
It might have started out as a fire truck and then ended up being a refueling truck for the ski resort, Mount Bachelor, which is pretty cool. And it's a really cool rig. You've got big military axles, divorce transfer case, got a V8.
Gas V8 engine. A 5-speed manual.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's in pretty good shape.
A sleigh truck should have a manual. It doesn't have it.
For the electric motor? Yeah it's a single-speed electric motor.
Yeah, single-speed.
Yeah.
So, that's coming up. So we have a video coming out very, very soon. So please wait another day if you're listening to this immediately when this podcast airs. Or if you're listening later, just check out oldtfl.com. You'll be able to see that there, or tfltruck.com. And a lot of people have asked me, including my wife, why I bought this.
Well, you've been scheming with David a little bit on what you might be able to do with the truck.
Well,
but the price was right. It was $3,000.
You know, David is amazing. There's a picture, the freeze frame of him right there.
In the Buhanka.
In the Buhanka van. So... he's an amazing dude, but he's kind of dangerous to talk to when you talk about projects.
Comes up with a lot of ideas.
He has a lot of ideas, and he just says things like, oh, I have an extra Cummins laying around.
Yeah, we can put that in the truck.
Yeah, he says stuff like that.
Yeah, we could build a camper on the back of it. I think it would be cool. So it's a tough call because mechanically the truck is very original.
Yeah, and actually, I reached out to our local Ford dealer because I kind of wanted to see how original is this truck, or has it been like changed over its lifetime? And they couldn't help me because it's a little bit too old.
Yeah, they didn't have information.
Yeah, they didn't have enough information about it. But I reached out to Ford Corporate because we do have contacts, with the PR departments across the industry. And actually, Ford Corporate told me that they got back to me right away, and they said they're looking into it. So it seems like there's a lot of excitement over there as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these trucks were two-wheel drive. They're delivery box vans or box trucks, delivering goods, or it's not quite a semi-truck. It's just more of a local delivery type of vehicle.
Yeah.
But to find one with military axles and this configuration with a 5-speed and a PTO, there's a power takeoff unit on the transmission as well.
Yeah. When it's and the final drive ratio on it is like a 680.
Those are the axle ratios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I've never heard of. I don't know if you have.
That's up there. No. My dad, I learned how to drive, one of the vehicles I learned how to drive on at our family's farm when I was growing up was a Dodge M37. It was a military version of the old Power Wagon.
Yeah.
And I want to say that those axles were like a 580.
Yeah, that's...
Because that also, that was a gas straight six that had next to no power.
Yeah. So like in a heavy duty truck, sometimes you can hear like a 410 or 430 to 1 rear axle ratio. That's fairly common. To hear like a 530, it would be like a rock crawler, right? For example, Jeep offers some of the options for like a 530 axle. Semi-trucks could have like 580s, like you said, or different types of axles. But to have a 680?
Yeah.
This thing...
Andre just keeps up in the figures.
But you know, there's a theme here, I've realized. After I purchased this, it wasn't very expensive. You can see the video about it. I've realized that there's a common thread between the Buhanka van and this F600.
Solid axles?
Yes.
Slow?
Slow. Very slow. So I tried a top speed run in this Ford, and I think I reached 42 miles per hour.
That must have been harrowing. I can only imagine. Isn't your power steering leaking, too? And, and your brakes are a little grabby? And
well...
The transmission kind of shifts.
Everything is fixable.
Oh, yeah. Everything is fixable.
So anyways, so there's a theme here. It's another vehicle I cannot drive on the highway yet. That's four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
But super cool.
Well, it's what we're known for is buying a lot of practical stuff.
Yes, very practical. Like Land Rovers, like old Land Rovers.
Yeah, because I got a $3,000 Land Rover and put a $5,000 motor in it.
There you go. So anyway, so on that note, I guess we can close this episode.
Yeah.
Number 277. I was looking this up. So we're moving up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of recording of us blabbing away on the internet, huh?
We apologize.
If someone needed to AI our voices, they would have plenty.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't even have to do this podcast anymore.
No. people basically know everything about us.
Put in a prompt.
Yeah. Please talk about the Ram Dakota.
Yeah. Ramble about the Dakota and the Slate truck.
And you could hear our voices. Oh, gosh.
No, we're not that advanced. No. We'll just keep recording it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, and if you guys continue to listen, we'll keep doing it. But if you won't listen, then I guess we won't.
Then we'll go home.
won't. Yet. All right, well, thanks for joining us. There's, like we said, there's a lot of news happening. And also, if you want to learn about some SUVs, we have a Lincoln Navigator video out there. Ian and I are going to a Ford Expedition event quite soon. So that's coming up as well.
It's the upside of there being a lot of news is there's a lot of videos coming
out. And we could test a lot of vehicles. Yeah, that's the upside. All right, well, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.